On the show today, we have Roar Gross' very own Peggy Vandeplash talking about the future of wealth management, how to grow your assets under management. Some great, great advice in here from Peggy. So I hope you guys check it out. On today's program, we have Roar Gross' very own Peggy Vandeplash. Did I get it right, Peggy?
You got it right. Thank you so much. Well done.
Practicing all night and I got it. Well, lovely to have you on the show today, Peggy. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. We appreciate it to talk with us for a few minutes. And before we get started on our topic, which is the future of wealth management, grow your assets under management, can you give us a quick backgrounder on Peggy Vandeplash? Who are you and how do you help folks out around the globe?
Of course. And thank you so much for the invitation. I'm really, really happy to be with you today. And hello to the audience. So as I'm sure everyone can hear, I'm from France originally. I've been in North America for 20 years. And my background is in financial services. So I worked in large banks. I started a couple of fintech. And for the last 7 years, actually, I've been independent. So as you mentioned, I have a business called Roar Growth. And what I do is that I advise asset and wealth managers. So I do a lot of work with asset managers, especially in the venture capital space.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also traditional wealth managers and traditional asset managers. But my sweet spot is technology.
Well, you are talking about, I mean, this is my Achilles heel, wealth management. I'm just like, I'm not saying I'm bad at it, but I'm constantly wanting to learn about this stuff. So I've been really anxious to chat with you today about this type of stuff. And so
great.
I want to get to the topic here is like, so the future of wealth management, what is the future? Well, I mean, where are we today? And then how is it going to change in the future? Let's put it that way.
Well, listen, the future is already there. The future, you know, the seeds of the future are always in the present, if not in the recent past. So the industry has really been seeing a lot of changes in the last decade, I would say. Obviously, technology, you know that very well, but also an increase in regulations, deep, deep increase. Client expectations also are on the rise. Mm-hmm. A lot of competition coming from new players. So all of that is really creating a lot of pressure on the industry. And you can also think about demographic trends in European, North American countries. We are getting older and wiser.
Yes,
and
hopefully.
and the wealth transfer is accelerating. So all of that is really, really, I would say, fostering a lot of changes. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean really? I would say three things. First, you can see new clientele that are really becoming more important. Women, you see a lot of wealth transfer towards women, but you also see a lot more women making more money. So they are getting more important in the wealth management industry just because of their weight. Second is the traditional millennials, Gen Z, also because of the wealth transfer and the wealth they are created. And the last one is one that we're not talking a lot, and that differs depending of country. It's immigrants.
Oh, okay.
Countries with a lot of immigration, like Canada, for example. These are the type of populations that becomes more and more important in the wealth management industry because they have more assets. So this new clientele is going to obviously create a lot of changes in wealth management, and wealth manager need to understand how to work with this clientele, but also develop new products. And we can discuss about that in a minute. The second bucket is new competitors, the big tech, the fintech, but also the global players that are catering to their diaspora. If you are coming from India or China, very often you're going to deal with an Indian or Chinese financial player. So that's becoming competitors. And the third bucket is the new business models. So I'm sure you heard about robo-advisor. Everyone has heard about robo-advisor. We're seeing more and more hybrid models where it's human augmented by technology, or technology augmented by human, depending on which side you came.
Yeah, yeah.
responsible investing, very, very big in Europe. It's massive and it's coming slowly but surely in North America. And the second is advice-based versus fee-based. So a lot of changes in wealth management. So I hope I didn't throw too many things no. at you, because so many things are changing.
Well, and the miracle was that we didn't even mention crypto in that. So, I mean, that's the big thing, right? We didn't even approach that. We won't even get there, but that's a whole other show for sure. But I want to turn it toward credit unions. So how can credit unions evolve in this future, because they're having this kind of membership evolution as well as the older folks. Yes. I mean, you know, credit unions traditionally have had an older clientele, if you will, their members, but the younger members are moving in as well, or coming in as well. So how can credit unions kind of take advantage of that in kind of the future of wealth management? How do they evolve here?
That's a great question. And I would say credit unions are even more sensitive because of their structure to some of these changes. So you mentioned the wealth transfer, you know, like the members are getting older. Mm-hmm. Offering products that are better adapted to their clients makes sense. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. The way retirement products have been built in the past, and I'm sorry, I hope I won't get too dark here, but it's going to be basically you retire, you live exactly the same way, so you have the same amount coming every month, and then you die. We know that it's not the reality. You retire, you usually use a lot of your savings, you're traveling, you're, you know, doing a lot of things. Then very often, and I'm sorry for the dark thoughts here, but you start getting a bit sick, you're not traveling as much, you're not spending as much. Mm-hmm. Then you might get sicker, and then you need more money to have more help.
Right. You know? Right.
And then eventually you die. So that's a huge difference in the way you can look at your retirement products.
Right.
Something that is flat, vanilla, same for everyone, and something that really takes into account your life cycle. So financial institutions, wealth manager, asset manager, credit unions really, really need to put their thinking cap. A few asset managers are already offering this type of products, and credit unions usually offer products developed by asset manager. You know, they put it on the shelf. They rarely develop their own product. So that's an opportunity. Second opportunity, if you're thinking about the life cycle, we spoke about women having more importance. It's the same thing. Women usually work less years in their lives because they have children. They usually tend to have lower paying jobs. They retire, and I'm sorry again for for the tone of my conversation.
No, it's reality. This is reality, Peggy. That's okay.
And they tend to have longer and more debilitating disease. So you end up with a population that put less money aside and that need more money for longer.
Right.
So you cannot offer the same product. And so these are a lot of things that credit unions, because they are so close to their members, should really embrace. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing differentiator that credit union should, from my perspective, should capitalize on.
Yeah.
It's really looking at, okay, who can I help my members with products that will really change their life for the best, versus giving the one, you know, you, me, whoever, same products for everyone.
Exactly. And maybe we should probably install some health classes as well, so they can stay healthy longer. So we're not getting sick in our retirement, so we can enjoy our retirement.
Exactly.
So, that's a whole other show. We can leave.
But that's a great point, actually. I love that.
So, but yeah, I'm just messing with you. Okay. So how do we grow our assets under management? And the second part of that is where do credit unions come in as well here? So I'm sure you have many ways of doing this. So what are a couple of ways that folks can kind of grow their assets under management, and where do credit unions fit in here?
So the first thing is specialization. You know, you cannot be everything to everyone. And that's extremely difficult because, you know, and same for you, same for me. I had to say that I was an expert in asset and wealth management. I cannot say, oh, I can do all these things in my life and no one understands what you're doing and you're doing everything, you know, 80%. So really, really focusing on what is that segment of clients that you're uniquely positioned to help? One of my friends is a wealth manager. He focuses on tech entrepreneurs. And that might not be the clientele that you see in credit unions, let's be honest. But you need to look at, okay, where are you great at? And really double down on that. Because it's very difficult to serve someone extremely well if everyone is very, you know, very different. So I think like these big buckets, is very, very important. And again, for one individual, a wealth manager, focusing on 80% of his or her practice on one type of clients, it's going to make a big difference.
So finding your niche, I guess, right?
Exactly. Okay. And ideally, I would say, stating the obvious, look at a growing niche. So, we spoke about the woman, millennial, Gen Z, the immigrants, you know, and you might not resonate with all of these or one of these, but stating the obvious once again, you want to ride the biggest wave. So look at something that is already consistent today, but that you can grow on that. So that's really the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing is going to be also, maybe some of you is going to shrug it off, but I still see a lot of gaps there, and it's having a solid online presence. And obviously website, I mean, that seems kind of
obvious. Right, I was going to ask you, what do you mean by that?
but content creation.
Yes.
You know, if I look at what you're doing, what I'm doing, you know, I have a newsletter, I have online courses, this type of thing. You need to have online presence. People need to know what is your area of expertise. And that's something that is a key differentiator. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm Googling in good English to look for a wealth manager, I want to see someone who's very deep in my space for people in my profile versus someone who never appears anyone. Right. You know, first, it's difficult for me to find you. Second, I cannot really see if you're credible and if you're great.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very, very important. And, you know, the third thing, and it's a, I like what you were mentioning with helping with the health, and that might be something that seems a bit more esoteric, but it's always better to go deeper in your client and have a bigger share of wallet than trying to get more clients. The challenge you see when you're a wealth manager is that very often your clients don't follow their plan. So and I'm sure you've been in that situation. I've been in situation many times.
Yes.
Let's say you're supposed to save 20% of your income this month, whatever the amount, and you end up saving 5%. Okay. Well, why? Why is it that you self-sabotage yourself? What is that resistance for you to put your financial situation ahead of other things? Mm-hmm, and here you're going to discover interesting things. And I'm going to take my example to really make it concrete for your audience. So I was raised in a low-income family, okay? I have a deep poverty consciousness that I'm working on every day to get rid of.
Yeah.
So having assets for me is very scary because I was raised with rich people are bad people. On top of that, I was raised in a very Catholic ecosystem.
Okay.
So you have all this environment that is actually not helping people like me to be financially successful. Because you have all this social conditioning, family conditioning, and you can try, it's like losing weight. You can try all your life to do something, whether it's going to require tremendous willpower for you to be successful, whether you work on what are these resistance and how can I remove them. So it you know, we see more and more books on the psychology of money. Usually it stays at the fringes. It doesn't really address this big elephant in the room, mm-hmm. which is why me, Peggy, I'm not capable of following my financial plan. You know, so that's something that is extremely helpful. So when you're talking about making sure that client stays healthy, mm-hmm. well, it's mental health, kind of, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, and it's mental health, physical health, financial health, all of those. You really got to.
Exactly.
And that takes such discipline. Oh, my gosh.
It takes terrible discipline because mm-hmm. we have to fight our different resistance. Mm-hmm. If you remove your resistance, you don't need as much discipline. That's because true. it comes more easily. It's like the flow of water.
Yeah.
If you remove a big rock, the water is just flowing, you know. So that's something. If I'm a financial advisor, well, if I can get 15% more assets from you, because I helped you understand what are your challenges. Mm-hmm. Not only, I mean, I helped someone greatly, but also I mechanically increase my asset under management. So it's mm-hmm. a win-win-win.
Right. So what can a credit union do in here? Obviously, they have financial advisors and stuff. So what advice do you have for credit unions in this space?
So, you know, there's a few things. The first is looking at, when you recruit, obviously, can you recruit employees that are more tech savvy? Because that's getting more and more important in order to interact with your clients. It is, mm-hmm. it is absolutely. But also that represent more the diversity of your clientele. Because it's something we see very often where some clients are uncomfortable, they don't really connect with their advisor and they need mm-hmm. someone. And it doesn't mean that if I'm a woman, I want a woman. That's not what I mean. But a different type of mental awareness, you mm-hmm. know, and you want to be able to connect with them. So that is very important. Digitization, front, middle, back office. I mean, I'm sure you've been saying that for the last 10 years.
Oh,
I've been saying that for the last 10 years. It's slow moving, mm-hmm. But it's very, very important to be able to interact digitally with your clients. And again, I will come back to the clients, understanding their needs and addressing their needs. Mm-hmm. So instead of pushing my products that I have on my shelves, is okay, what do you need? And do I have something that is actually the good answer or not? And if I don't, well, let's build it.
Yeah.
it's not necessarily very complicated, you know, like it's not, I had a client, a very large asset manager who realized this problem with a retirement product where it's basically one life cycle, you know, like you stay flat and you die. Mm-hmm. And they realized they needed to offer products a bit more sophisticated and a bit more adapted to the real life cycle. Mm-hmm. So they started this massive, you know, financial institution, started this massive endeavors with MIT really understand life cycle. Yeah, but you know what? I can tell you, let's do a Google for 2 days. Let's figure out, you know, more or less what are the life cycle, get it to market in a month.
Yeah.
2 years of study with MIT. So, you know, like it's this type of thing. It comes from a good place, but the execution can do better. Let's bring it back. So, you know, just let's do it. You don't have to have it perfect.
Right. Oh, good point. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you said that.
Done is better than perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going from something that is very average to perfection. You know what? If you're already giving 50% better tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
already amazing.
Exactly. All right. Last question for you. And it's a pretty obvious question, but I just want to get your take on it. The significance of the wealth management today and then moving into the future, because we hear a lot, you mentioned digitization, and you know, I don't want to get too far down like the investing road, but mm-hmm. I have never seen investing more in the headlines than I have in the last 2 years. Maybe it was because of the Robinhood thing, maybe it was the GameStop thing, maybe it's crypto, what we mentioned earlier, but I've just never seen investment or investing in the headlines so much. And that's all part of wealth management, right? So what's the significance of this? Because we have a new generation of consumers coming up who are investing. Most of them are on Robinhood and doing it all by themselves type of stuff. But what's the significance of this today? Because there's a lot of people out there that need some direction.
Well, and you touched on several very interesting things.
Yeah, I touched on a lot. That's a big question. I apologize.
That's great. No, but I wanted to piggyback on some of the things you mentioned. So, it's interesting to look at, you are talking new generations. So they approach wealth management very differently. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to pay fees. That's for sure.
I don't blame them. So,
but also, they've seen 10 years of bull market.
Yeah.
So they think they can invest themselves.
Exactly. Good times are going to last forever. Woohoo!
Exactly. And they don't really get that wealth management is more than just investing. It's the tax preparation. It's optimizing, it's optimizing
the
situation.
One aspect
of it. It's your will. It's the entire financial health. So there is a misunderstanding from the younger generation about what and how a wealth manager can help them. And unfortunately, that leads to the second point you touch on, is the correlation between social media and wealth management, for better or worse, has proved very, to also support new competitors in the industry. It has been a very interesting dynamic. But again, because there's been this idea of, I'm not sure if you invested in Robinhood. I played with that. It's like a game. You don't even realize. It's like casino, And I love gamification, but I love like responsible gamification.
Yeah.
So I think the challenge with the wealth management industry is that we haven't had a bear market yet. When this new, side of the cycle will come back, you're going to see.
I think so, yeah.
Back to what you were mentioning. Sure. Exactly. Like the social media impact, many people, crypto is a good example as well. People, losing a lot of easy gain money. And we've seen that, already in the early 2000s. With a dot-com bubble.
That's right.
Exactly the same thing, where people found that, wow, I'm a genius because I'm Warren Buffett. I can be, the best investor in the world. Everything I touch transforms into gold. No, you're just on a wave that's going up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to come down. Mm-hmm. And if you're not well advised, well, you're going to have a surprise. Yes. So, if there is one takeaway I would love to leave people with, is first, investing when everything goes up doesn't really test your investing abilities. So be mindful of that.
Mm-hmm.
Second, when you work with professional advisor, and you don't have to have much asset under management to do that, there is much more than just investing, much, much more. So that would be very helpful. And the last thing that's going to be very important in these years is social responsible investing.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, it's massive, massive, massive. Regulations now ask asset managers to assess impact.
Really?
It's a legal requirement. The same way you need to do your due diligence in financials, you need to do that for impact. So it's going to come in North America. Yeah. There is no doubt about that. So,
Maybe it's a good thing.
I think it's a great thing, but you want to be in your front foot versus your back foot, So look at what's happening in Europe. Yeah. It's going to be here very, very soon.
As most things do, it seems like that, you know, the Europeans seem to embrace things, at least financially, financial technology type stuff. Yeah. You know, it seems to hit Europe first and then it comes over here, then it hits the States. So, but anyway, again, that's probably another topic for another day. So, oh my gosh, Peggy, I could talk to you another 2 hours easily.
Me too. I've learned so fun.
I've learned so much in such a short amount of time. So thank you for that. Anything else to wrap up on this topic? I mean, I know, again, this is a topic we could talk about for hours and hours, but any final thoughts here?
Listen, I'll go back to what I mentioned a bit earlier. Really be strategic with your organization, whether you're a credit union, a large bank, an individual. Who are the clients you want to serve? Ideally, a big pool of clients. And what is your value proposition? Why would they serve you? So, and that's very important. Sometimes we forget to think about, who are the end clients.
Right, right. Good point. Good point. All right, Peggy. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
This has been such a wonderful education. Appreciate it. And we're going to get this out there and all the credit unions can check it out. And it's going to be really cool. So I'm really excited to get this one out there. So thank you so much for your help.
Thank you so much. It was great. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Thank you.
You are welcome. All right. This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.